There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
On this episode of Saints Happy Hour Podcast, we're going to talk Saints free agency. It's been underwhelming so far, but it could pick up any day now, any second, Kevin. They could sign someone and we could get excited. I'm going to get excited about it. Kevin's going to get depressed about it. Thomas, hit that intro.
Welcome to the award-winning Saints Happy Hour podcast. Seriously, this podcast has won awards? American standards are dropping every day. The show features Ralph, the best host in the world, who can barely pronounce his own name, much less anyone else's.
Marcus Callaway.
Dave is that dude who loves taking bathroom breaks. He's mad about almost anything, so make sure to lower your volume when he speaks.
Put that freaking clown meme back up that I made.
Jesus Christ.
Andrew has sources, watches tapes, and knows football. He rarely shows up on time and wants to commit crimes to help the Saints win.
Sean Payton would have done illegal things. Don't tell me I'm wrong, because you know it's true.
Oh, and there's also Kevin, who is great at doing mock drafts, but struggles to actually watch Saints games or have a functioning relationship.
Butterich wants to know how the doctor's doing.
That ended.
Anyway, grab a drink, sit back, and enjoy the insanity.
All right, everybody, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you find us on the YouTube, rate us, review us, and give us a subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you find us on the RSS feed, give us a review and follow us so you can have your Saints Happy Hour in your podcast player wherever you are, and go to Saints Happy Hour to support the show. I got Kevin with me. I got Thomas back in Poland running the show. Kevin, Saints free agency has done something very, very strange. It's usually on the podcast, I'm known as the reactionary one. I lose my mind, prisoner of the moment. I get emotional. Yep. I wish he could have come on this podcast, because the Saints free agency has broken Andrew Jeudy. They signed Nathan Peterman, the backup quarterback, who's objectively terrible. And Andrew just has lost his mind. He said he's the worst quarterback in the NFL, maybe the worst quarterback in Saints history. So that's interesting. Before we get into specific moves, because the Saints have done a come, we talked about the linebacker they signed from Kansas City, Willie Gay. But they signed Cedric Wilson, the receiver. We'll get to him in a second. But overall, I want to talk about the Saints' approach to free agency, because all offseason, or even during the year, people said Mickey Loomis is terrible, DA is terrible, the Saints need to change how they do business, they need to stop kicking the can down the road, they need to rebuild, they need to reset, they need to tank, they need to stop with all this, how they operate the salary cap, they need to do something different. And they're doing something different, and everybody appears to be not really liking the don't spend money, kick the can down the road, be responsible, Dave Cariello, salary cap plan, eat your vegetables. We hate it, but I've always hated it, and I didn't pretend to want it. But what's your what's your feeling on the Saints free agency 4 days into it, 5 days into it?
Wait, Ralph, you're surprised that people online were complaining and demanding something, and then when they started to get something kind of like that, they kept complaining anyway?
I shouldn't be, right?
This is America in the 21st century. We're going to complain regardless.
It's fair enough.
Like, yeah, Nathan J. Peterman is bad. Like, I was going over, I was going over his numbers. Like,
the joke
stats.
Potential though is off the charts.
His what?
His joke potential. His joke raz.
Oh, I thought you said growth for a second.
No,
I was
joke,
like, brother.
Joke. His joke raz is 9.5. The joke.
Brother, this guy's growth potential is it's zero. Basically like leaving your boy. You know, if you're late, you know, ladies or hey, fellas, you know, you go out of town, you tell your boyfriend, hey, water the plant. And you forget to do it for a week. That yeah, the plant's dead. But man, think of the growth potential that it has. It can come back. No, right. It's dead. It's done. This guy's completion, his career completion percentage is 53.1.
Wow.
Total touchdowns in his career. Total touchdowns 4. Total touchdowns or total interceptions 13. He is 1-4 as a starter. He's only started 5 games in his career despite playing for 6 years over 3 different teams. His QBR. What's funny is they don't average the QBR out. His highest QBR was in 2022 with the Bears, and it was 41.9.
Wow. The thing is with Peterman, he must be like the guy that everybody loves at work, even though he's terrible at his job.
He must pick up the tab. He must pick up the tab at all the restaurants. He's probably like a really good listener. You know,
he plans all the company for the Cinco de Mayo. Like, he's the guy that like gets the Mexican food. Like, he gets all the events. He plans everything.
Right. He's got to be a glue guy. He's got to be a glue guy.
He's a glue guy.
There is no other reason to have this guy on the roster. There's none. Unless you think Jake Haener is an abomination.
That's right. That's what I was going to get to next.
Like, that's – but again, and I'm trying not to get worked up about it because, honestly – with most teams, if your starting quarterback gets injured,
well,
you're basically fucked.
Well, that's the thing. You know, from 20, let's say when the Saints got the second wind of the Drew Brees, Sean Payton era, like, you know, they got together and 2018 to 2020, going into 2018, we knew Saints can win a Super Bowl, right? And they had that window. So then that was a time where I really cared about the backup quarterback because if Drew Brees would get hurt for a month, you'd be like, hey, if Drew gets hurt for a month and you go 0-4 or 1-3, home field, division title, maybe you don't make the playoffs and you're ruining this really good roster. You need a good backup quarterback. Go trade for Teddy Bridgewater, pay him $8 million a year. And it worked out because in 2019, Drew Brees got hurt. Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0. You still went 13-3, right? It was worthwhile. Yeah. The 2024 Saints, they're trying to win. They're not winning a title. Whatever. Like, if they play Haener, if they play Peterman, who gives a shit? Like, it's done. It's like worrying about a meteor hitting Earth. Like, it's over. Like, what do I have to worry about? Like, I don't have to get my stuff in order.
So, one, and I texted you guys this immediately after I heard about Peterman getting signed. I said, they signed the wrong former Bills quarterback.
They did.
To the team. They could have got Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, but Tyrod is getting $9 million a year.
Right. So it's like, all right, fine. I get it. Again, I get it. This is the equivalent. This has to be the equivalent. Well, maybe equivalent might not be the right word because you're thinking equal.
Yeah.
This must be like a team with a starting black quarterback getting the black backup. Like, you look at the Browns, it's like people, you know, they dumped Flacco because, well, one, Flacco was actually good when he came in. And so you can't have... You can't have the backup being the most popular guy on the team or getting a lot of pub for him. So it's like Derek Carr. People don't like Derek Carr. They don't like him. You got to find somebody less likable to be the backup.
They did it.
And they did it.
Mission accomplished. Hang the banner.
It's basically.
Hang the banner.
Yeah. Like, I tell you what, you want another analogy, and I'm not going to use names because we're not doing that. We're not doing that. When the you look at presidential tickets, it's who's at the top of the ticket, who's the vice president. It's like, well, you may hate the president, but you don't want anything to happen to the president.
That's right.
Because you don't want the vice president in charge.
That's right.
Crap like that. Don't want anything to happen to Derek Carr because Nathan Peterman is going to be under center or doing whatever. And listen, I wish I could understand any of these other numbers here and appearing on Pro Football Reference. This guy, I mean, he's terrible. He is bad.
Here's
the thing. I can't stress enough.
With Peterman, I think people are focusing on the wrong thing. You don't focus on if Peterson's the backup quarterback.
Peterman. You got Adrian Peterson on the brand.
Yeah, I do. Bad individuals. Bad in a different way. But Peterman, the thing is you have to think about the thing that will make the Peterman signing look bad for the Saints is if Jake Haener can't beat him out in the summer, because they traded up to get Haener, Kevin. And if you can't beat out Peterman, you can't beat out the Peterman at quarterback. Like, then Jake Haener is in the bin with Ian Book and Canefield and Garrett Grayson. Like, he's that type of failure as a backup quarterback where the Saints, he's so bad, they don't even trust him to be the backup. So that's the thing that I'm going like if we're going into the third preseason game and we're like, oh, that battle between the Peterman and Haener, it's a tough call. Then guess what? Haener's a disaster.
Here's the problem with that. Is it possible that the team signs a guy like Peterman and says, we're going to make you the number the number two spot is yours to lose. So as long as.
I don't think they would be that. I don't think that. But Peterman, I don't think they would do that. I think if they'd have gone and got like a better quality backup, like if you'd have gone and got like a
Tyrod Taylor,
like a Tyrod Taylor or Jimmy Garoppolo, then you'd say, hey, Jimmy, we're paying you $4 or $5 million. You're the guy. You're the backup. And Haener, we're going to redshirt him another year. The one thing I will say, Jimmy G, like if the Saints would have signed Jimmy G, you'd have the sexiest backup quarterback room in the league. You got Haener and you got Jimmy G. I mean, the sultriness would have been off the charts. But
if you want to factor in Taysom Hill in the quarterback room, there you go. Like,
and here's the thing. Like if the Saints, if something happens to Derek Carr, like, one, the season's it's pretty much shot anyway, but like you're gonna get Taysom time at quarterback, I think, because I don't think Haener is really ready. Right. Like, whatever, like I don't know. It's just I can't get worked up over the Peterman sign. I can't.
Only when I
Only when you look at his stats and you see how bad he is. Only when I think about him
do I get worked up. It's just like, look, Derek Carr's here. Like, that's it. He's here another year at least. You got to roll with it. This is the medicine that we have to take.
Yeah.
This is the medicine.
Yeah.
You got an underwhelming starting quarterback and a god-awful backup quarterback.
Well, I mean, or a question mark. Or god-awful backup quarterback or a guy who you traded up in the fourth round, we have no idea if he's any good. We have no idea if he's probably not an NFL starting quarterback. We have no idea if he's a functional backup. But that's the thing, Kevin, with your point. Like, the Saints decided, hey, we're going to try to save, instead of paying a backup like we did with Jameis and Bridgewater, and we're going to save $4 or $5 million at backup.
Yeah.
And we're going to take that money and we're going to try to spend it other places because we're trying to steer the cap back to normal.
Right.
Which brings us to...
So basically, with the three preseason games, Carr is just going to take minimal snaps, I would hope. You give Peterman a near full game.
We might have to live stream that. That'll be incredible.
You give Peterman a half the next game. And then the third game, you give Peterman a quarter and you let Haener take it the rest of the way.
Haener.
Like, Haener's got to get snaps in the preseason game, like significant snaps, not this fourth quarter, 5 minutes left crap.
No.
He's got to get multiple quarters in a game in play.
I don't care if it's
second and third string guys, but he's got to see angry people opposite him trying to kill him.
I would say Haener's probably going to start the first preseason game for the Saints. They'll give
you don't Haener think they're going to let Carr start it
They'll start Haener the first preseason game. The second preseason game, they'll let Carr play like a quarter and a half. You know, they'll ease into it. So that was the thing that got people on the Saints Twitters and social angry. That's the angry du jour moment for Saints social media this week. But the other thing they did late last night, Kevin, they signed Cedric Wilson, former Dolphin, former Cowboy. He signed 2 years ago. He signed a 3-year, $22.5 million contract with the Dolphins.
He stole that money.
Stole that money. He's kind of a bust.
And good for him. Good for him. I will always support the workers. He got his bag.
Good for him.
Up with the proletariat and all that stuff.
Full disclosure, 2 years ago, when the Saints needed receivers going into 2022 before they traded up for Olave and that sort of thing, and after coming off of 2021, where the receivers were just a disaster, right? They had Kenny Stills, the corpse of Kenny Stills playing out. I was like, go get a receiver. I was like, Cedric Wilson, he's a guy. You can get him. I think he caught 40 balls for the Cowboys. I think you can get him for like $4 or $5 million a year. And then like I saw that, I was like, that's insane. Like, I'm not paying Cedric Wilson $8.5 million a year. But
he never equaled in his 2 years with Miami combined. He didn't equal his output in that one decent to good year with the Cowboys. Like, he had 6 receiving touchdowns with them. Yeah. He only had 3 total with Miami. He ended up with 432 yards total in his 2 years. He had 602 in that last season with Dallas. Like, you know, it's terrible. He had 45 catches in that one season with Dallas. Total with Miami was 34.
Yeah.
Like it's an underwhelming signing. It's a depth signing. Like, if this guy's your number two, you're in trouble.
Man. Yeah.
You're in trouble. This is not a guy who's going to be threatening Rashid Shaheed for the number two spot.
Honestly, what you want out of this guy is for the Saints, because the Schefters and all the people that posted it on Twitter, they didn't even say the number, right? They just said 2-year deal. So you know the agent was like, yeah, Adam, don't put the money out there. That's really low.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you know it's probably like 2 years, like $4 million or something. Like, it's maybe he got 2 years, $6 million from the Saints and like $2 million guaranteed. It's really low. But my point on it, the best case scenario for Cedric Wilson is he just kind of quiet during training camp. We forget he's on the team and he's there. Maybe he's inactive some weeks. Some weeks he's active, some weeks he's not. And then they have a week where like, oh, God damn it. Freaking Shaheed is hurt. You know, AP Perry, who's having a good year, he's hurt. AT Perry's hurt, and oh God, they got to play Cedric Wilson. And we're like, oh, Cedric Wilson, nice job today, Cedric Wilson. You caught 5 for 65 and a touchdown, but everybody's healthy next week. Go back to the bench. Like, I think that's like the best case scenario for him.
I think best case scenario is expecting this guy to come in and get to 40. Catches.
That's a reach.
That's too high. I think 30 might be the redlining of expectations. I'm thinking 27, 28 catches?
I think you want it. I think the more catches Cedric Wilson has, it's bad. Like, ideally, I want him at about 20. I want him to have one big game, nice game, and then, like, just random catches in other games and, like, mop up to you. I think if he crosses the 40-catch threshold, Kevin, something has gone really, really wrong at receiver for the Saints.
No, I can agree with that. I can agree with that, but you ought to be able to get something from him and throw him in situations where he gets on the field and produces just enough to where, you know, teams have to take him semi-seriously. I'm not saying it's
got
to be a full.
He's got speed. He's got size. He you know, Miami did a lot of that with the kids call it the orbit motion and the bumper motion where he goes in the backfield and he does the little thing. So that could be fun. Maybe it's a Kubiak. Maybe Kubiak was like, hey, he's a guy. Go get him. He can work in my offense, which is fine.
I hope he can block.
I mean, but
can he block?
He's gonna have to better learn, baby. He's like Kirkland's brand Traquan Smith. That's what he is.
Jesus,
he's Kirkland brand's Traquan. You know,
we trade him in for some Coles cash.
So the Saints, Kevin.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is they redid Ramczyk, and I won't get into the specifics, but he took a pay cut. They added some escalators and all that. Bottom line is Saints have $15 million of cap space. And listen.
What?
Yeah.
I was told by very smart people, or people who say they're very smart people and plugged in on the TV, Ralph.
Yes.
That the Saints are in cap hell.
Yeah, they're not.
And that there's no climbing out of it. It's you know, you just have to allow yourself to get sucked into the whirlpool for a couple of for 2 years or more, and that's not there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah,
I was told the Saints are done and they're cooked.
Well, here's my thing: they got $15 million, but about four of it you got to use for draft picks. So they got about, let's say they got $11 million in space. They signed the linebacker Gay. He was $3 million up to five. Let's say Cedric Wilson is another three. So you got like $5 million in space. And you could do, the Saints can do whatever the hell they want with the space. My question to you is, are they going to try to spend it on one, like, pretty nice purchase? We're not shopping at Saks Fifth Avenue because all that's gone. We're not even shopping probably at like Target. We're definitely doing like Walmart shopping. But are they going to go and make one really nice purchase like a Chase Young defensive end who's second pick in the draft, never lived up to the hype, never had more than 7.5 sacks in a season? Are they going to spend it on him, or are they going to continue this Cedric Wilson, Willie Gay backup guy? Or are they going to like splurge and do like one kind of big signing where we get excited? I get to play the breaking news siren, do the show from behind the dumpster at work, pull you out of the wrestling ring, and we do a breaking news podcast because we're excited about it. Do you think they're going to have like one big move in them now that they have a little space? Are they going to continue to bargain?
No, I can see them doing that. I'm basing that just off of, is the history there for that? If they've done that consistently for,
I mean, they did Honey Badger. I mean, it was really late in the process, right? Like 2 years ago, they did Honey Badger the day after the draft. And I think they gave him like, it was like 3 years, like $20 million. So they could do it. So my question to you is, Kevin,
do I think they're going to wait till after the draft?
No, but I mean, do you think they're going to make
a splashy pick, they'll do it before the draft.
You think a sign? Well, here's my question then to you. Do you want, because I think probably it's going to be like one guy in the $7 to $10 million range with a 1 year contract voidable years, and it'll have a little bit of escalators or possible dead money next year, but it won't be anything major, right? So my question to you is, you got one bullet you're going to fire, I think, with the Saints. Do you want Chase Young, defensive end? Do you want Trent Brown, offensive line? Do you want Tyron Smith, offensive line? And you don't have to necessarily give me a name, but a position where you're like, if they're going to spend, they're going to give me one exciting move this offseason. Do this, please. What would it be? Is he squints?
Yeah. I mean, now let me check the depth chart.
Well, while you do that, I'll give you mine.
I think I've got a name here. So
go ahead.
Although he's probably going to cost too much. Well, the market value says he's below $10 million. Tyron Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. He to me, he's injured all the time. But it, like, you're at the party of the market, Kevin. Like, there ain't no perfect tens left. They're all gone. People bought them.
Right.
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 The thing is with him is, if you got the blessings of the football gods and you got health and you got Tyron Smith at left tackle and you got 12 plus games out of him and you got good health for Ramchek, suddenly, Kevin, you got offensive line now. It might not be long term, but in 2024, you would have an offensive line. And I really like that move. Very short term.
It's a 1 or 2 year deal. I mean, if it's a 2 year deal, it's really a 1 year deal. But yeah, it's, you're basically rolling the dice because this is a make or break year. Like, if Dennis Allen doesn't make the playoffs, he's likely gone. And Carr is possibly done or maybe around for one more year and then kick to the curb. But this is the make or break year.
I like Smith better. I like Smith better than even my pick, which was Chase Young, which he's visiting the Saints today. This podcast may be spilled milk by the time people are watching it, because either he's left the Saints and not done a deal, or they've signed him and all the things I'm saying about him, we can get even more excited about him as the season gets closer. But the reason why I would go Tyron Smith over Chase Young is, with Smith, I know if he's healthy, he's going to be good. It's an offensive lineman, like, they'll go through periods where they're banged up, and then they get healthy, and then it's over. But like a guy like Zach Strief, Saints Hall of Famer, great player, right? Offensive line coach for Denver. He went where he was banged up all the time, and the Saints kept keeping him on the team, extending him. And people are like, why is he running? He's hurt. He's injured all the time. He's not healthy. And 2016, he just was healthy for 16 games. And he told us, he's like, that's the best season I ever had. Like, he was amazing. 2017, the next year, he gets injured the first week of the year, never plays again. He's done. But like, the thing is with Tyron Taylor, I've seen it. I know he can be great. With Chase Young, he's like Marcus Davenport. He drafted super high. I know he was drafted second, but the Saints gave up two firsts for Marcus, two first. And he's kind of never been really good, shown flashes, never lived up to the potential, disappears in games, doesn't necessarily give a crap about playing the run. Like, he's just a different flavor of the Marcus Davenport experience. So even though he's less likely to get hurt, I would probably agree with you. I'd probably roll the dice on Smith because the upside for him being healthy is so great. And like, left tackle is such a critical thing for the Saints. I think I would go Smith. The one thing with him, Kevin, is I have no idea about his market, because I figured that one of these teams with a crap ton of cap space would have already signed him to like a 1 year deal, like a team like the Patriots or like Tennessee, who has 50, 60, $70 million in cap space, would have been like, hey, just come here. 1 year, $15 million. We're not promising anything. We might even draft a tackle, but we're paying you for 1 year to be our left tackle, to protect our young quarterback, to protect the quarterback we're going to draft. Like, I thought that would be a deal, but he hasn't signed. And, like, if his market value is under 10, like, all day I'd do that. But
so the thing about, like, I like your idea of getting the edge guy. My thought process is, if you pick up a tackle in free agency and you're expecting him to compete, to start or compete for the starting spot, mm-hmm. then you don't need to use that first overall pick
mm-hmm.
on a tackle.
Yeah.
If you pick up, and then you could use that for an edge defender.
That's right.
Vice versa. If you sign the edge guy in free agency that you expect to compete for a starting spot, then you would use the first pick you have for an offensive lineman.
See, I think
it's got to be one.
Well, here's my thing though, Kevin, looking at the draft, I think that if the Saints go tackle and they would sign Tyron Smith, I think it would increase the odds of them possibly trading out and trading down. Because here's why. I think, and this is my fear of, if I'm in free agency, do I get the tackle? Do I get the edge rusher? This is my conundrum. I think all the really good edge guys are going to be gone at 14. So, like, if you go tackle in free agency, if you go Tyron Smith, my worry would be you'd like, hey, we got our tackle. Now we're kind of loose. We can do what we want, but we really want an edge. And you're sitting in there at 14. You're like, Verse is gone. Dallas Turner is gone. The guy from UCLA, whose name my parents kind of say, he's gone. And then you're like, I don't really like any of the edges. And we just paid. We got a tackle. You know, so it's a real risk. And here's my question. You're our mock draft guru. How have the mock drafts been going? What's at 14? Is it, or when you're at 14, is what's more likely to happen when you've done these mocks? Is it likely there's a really good tackle there, or there's still a really good edge there? What's happens both. More?
It's both. So,
ooh,
so
okay.
I'll tell you this. PFF has them ranked Dallas Turner 16th overall, Jared Verse 18th overall, and the UCLA guy Latu at 20.
Mm-hmm.
I just punched go on a mock draft just to see what's mm-hmm. what's randomly there. It's literally three tackles, Talise Fuaga from Oregon State, Troy Fountenot
mm-hmm.
from Washington, and
from
then the Penn State kid, Olamiwa Fashino. Good Lord, we're going to be butchering these poor kids' names. So those three tackles, Terrion Arnold, this corner from Alabama, Dallas Turner, the edge, and then Jared Verse, the edge.
I wonder, tackle.
So
have the combine numbers and such and workouts, have they been factored into these mocks? Because I feel like Turner.
So the first round guys and some of the second round guys, it has been, because you actually get the little descriptors on the side mm-hmm. where it says, you know, like the bottom line and like all these other like little extra things. You go to some guys. Let me pull up somebody from ranked later toward the hundreds. Some guys, yeah, shit, even into the hundreds, you'll still get the little write-ups on. I think I think PFF is starting to get into their, is getting into their bag now of like having descriptors and deeper analysis for everybody, for more people now. So they've definitely gotten through the first two rounds, it seems, for sure, on analysis for people. But again, that's why I'm saying, the mock drafts that I'm running, if I'm staying at 14, I've got a bunch of tackles and edge guys available. And it's like, if you pick up the tackle in free agency, then you should get the edge guy here. because these three edge guys, Turner, Verse, and Latu, they're not going to be there at the end of the first round. I would be stunned if they're there at the end of the first round.
I think you two of those guys will be ahead of 14. But and this is another conundrum you have, Kevin, is if the Saints would sign Chase Young, right? You know that he's going to be in a rotation.
Right.
Right. And he's going to play. Whereas, you draft a rookie defensive end, they're going to be in the rotation. They're going to play. The struggle you have, I think, if you sign Smith or you sign an offensive tackle, is you might draft you. There's a potential where you draft you sign Smith, but you're like, hey, we got this tackle. He's rated eighth. We got to take him. And then you got Ramchek, Smith. Can't forget about our boy Trevor Penning and the new guy. And you might have a weird season where Smith, Ramchek are super healthy. Yeah, your offensive line is great, and that's good, and you're set up for 2025. But like the Saints kind of are in a position where whoever they pick at 14, like they need them to play. They need them to be in a rotation contributing. Right. So it's
right.
Which is why
I'll say it till I'm in the damn ground. Trade down,
especially this year.
Get more picks. Get more picks. Because again, you're going from
40 to 45.
You're going from 14 to 45. To let me pull up the Saints here again. Sorry, I have to reset everything. My apologies. 14 to 45 to 150. And then you've got four picks bunched up in the next 25 picks.
Yeah.
So you want to get are the picks that are those are the picks where hopefully you find a gem and then you find depth. But again, you can go if you can go from 14 to say hovering around 20 and get one extra pick in the top 100,
yeah.
Or if you're lucky, get one in the top 100 and then one just past it.
Yeah.
Great.
Even if you move down like five spots, that can net you like a pick in the 80s.
Yeah. Who is five spots down would be 19. That would be the Rams. You could get 19, 83, and 99 for pick 14. Feasibly.
Yeah. That'd be amazing. We'll have a freaking parade. You know about final prediction. Chase Young, he's visiting today before we get out of here. Yes or no, Saints sign him?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, too. I think he's our annual go on the tour, use the Saints as leverage to get more money out of either Tennessee or a contender.
Yeah.
There's a guy every year, there's always a guy. He comes in, we get moderately excited. He comes in, does the facility. They take him to Brennan's or somewhere else. Nice to eat.
They take him to Brennan's.
And he does it with Dave. Golfing with Dave. You know, they take him somewhere nice and it doesn't work out. So I'm gonna agree with you. I don't think the Chase Young deal gets done for the Saints, and they got some work to do in free agency. So guys, thanks for joining us. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to the audio only version, go to saintshappyhour.com, become a patron, support the show. We love all the patrons. You guys make the show happen. We appreciate each and every one of you. Join us. You get access to our Discord. We're having a blast this off season. I promise you it'll be the best money you spend all football season long. So for Kevin, for Thomas running the show back in Poland, I'm Ralph. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, the bar is closed.